Any of you ever play the childhood game Red Rover? How many people played Red Rover? Yeah. Remember you'd line up with other people and you'd join hands and then you'd call somebody out, right? Billy, come on over. Red Rover, Billy, come over. And he'd run. And what was Billy's purpose? Break the line. Yeah. And if he broke the line, what happened? He would take somebody back with him to the other side. If he didn't break the line, then what happened? He had to stay. It's like a judgment. He had to stay. Stay, Billy. Well, I need to tell you that I was almost always on the winning team because I had a great strategy. I just joined whatever team Mike Gill was on. Now, Mike Gill was, I swear, I think he was 6'6 and 300 pounds in the third grade. Mike was huge, and nobody could stop him ever. So whatever team Mike got on, I just quickly joined that team, and I knew we're going to win. Yeah, nobody could stop him ever. You see, I learned a simple lesson on that playground, that life isn't fair, and not all things are equal. Let that soak in a minute. I learned that Mike in this game was more important than, say, Jenny in that game. Jenny was like 30 pounds in full winter gear. And she never broke through, that poor girl. Run as fast as she could, hit as hard as she could. Now, that philosophy in life worked in simple games like that. But as I have aged, I've learned that the more complex the game or situation, the more we are all needed. The more we are all needed. All types of people become important because the battle for souls in this world is on so many fronts. Hence, I believe the great blessing of the church. We don't have to do it alone. As we face things like poverty, racism, biblical illiteracy, hatred, pornography, addiction, greed, on and on, it's vital that we're all engaged in the mission of Jesus Christ. All, every one of our gifts and abilities are needed for such a time as this. In fact, you want to know the truth, our core purpose for this all-church study is that every one of us will be Jesus' presence in any room we find ourselves. Even your hospital room. Yeah. From Zoom rooms to office spaces, from classrooms to neighborhood barbecues. Doesn't matter. That's why I'm loving our study of Ephesians, because these folks in Ephesus were living in a culture, believe it or not, very similar to ours. So Paul's words to them back then are as fresh for us as if he wrote the words yesterday. So let's recap. Here we go. Up to now, we've seen that we can be confident when we enter a situation because Christ has already won the battle on the cross 2,000 years ago. Our identity is sealed in him. I want you to hear this. This is so important. We have an incredible inheritance, folks. We are secure. Not because of us, but because of him. We learned in chapter 2, and we're walking right through the book of Ephesians, that I am a peacemaker because Jesus came to break down the barriers between people. Jew and Gentile, but all people, he broke it down. I can, therefore, not be intimidated or need to be prejudiced. I can meet people where they are because Jesus has already made the path to salvation and healing open to everybody. That's a joyful thing. Think about that. We don't have to be a clique. We don't have to be a little group. We can just be loving for Jesus every person on the planet. And last week we learned, I think you learned, I wasn't here. Did you learn it? Okay, you learned that because of God's love rooted in me, I am empowered. I'm capable of elevating the room because I walk in his love and can bless any environment I'm in, which should be our goal. Lord, how can you bless people through me in whatever environment I'm in? I even was obnoxious in the hospital and prayed for nurses and doctors and talked about the book of Revelation to a young medical student. It was fun. Yeah. It was good stuff, you see? So today we add to this as we turn the page in Ephesians to this. And I want you to think about this one. If I can get this to work, I bet I can. Say it with me. I am equipped because God has given me a church family. God has given me a church family. We don't have to do this alone. We're with sisters and brothers. We told our sons we don't know where they were going to end up because they're crazy people. One's in Atlanta, one's in Manhattan. And we just said, there are Christians there. You got family everywhere you go. Be aware of that. You're not alone ever. I'm equipped because God has given me a church family. So let's look at these verses a little bit closer and see if we can get. Say it with me out loud. I love it when you do that. As a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy. Now, Paul was only talking at that point to pastors, missionaries. No, he's talking to everybody in Ephesus, every believer. And he would be talking to everybody here in this room today. As a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. It's interesting, as a pastor, I hear so many people struggling with their worth before God. I mean, we know our inner thoughts and judgments and behaviors. We know how we feel we fall short. We all do. Who here is exactly like Jesus? Not me. How about you? I want to be more like him, but I'm not. And what happens out of that is when I can't own that and say, yeah, Lord, you know what I struggle with. And I don't admit that to myself or to God. It ends up, I believe, leading to a bad self-image. It's amazing how self-image has so much to do with how we live in this world, how at peace we are with ourselves, with the Lord, and with others. And I think ultimately feeling God doesn't really love us. You know, how can you love me because I still do this? I still have this bad attitude. I still don't like this person. I still can't get along with this family member. Listen, folks, our worth doesn't come from what we do or don't do, but from simply being a child of God. God didn't say, get good and then come to me. He said, come to me. You who are broken, you who are in need, and that's all of us. We don't come to Jesus because we got it together. We come to Jesus because we're in need. I come to church because I need Jesus and I need you. That's why I want to be here. I can't do this alone well, this Christian life. How about you? And it's okay just to be who you are. If it's one thing I found here at Faith that Bev and I love a lot, is that you folks are pretty genuine. You are who you are. You don't try to put on airs, try to prove to us you're the best Christians ever. You just say, we're real people trying to walk this pilgrimage like you are. And that's the joy of this. We are loved, therefore we are worthy because God declares us that. Period. And because of that, Paul is letting us know we all have a calling. Well, I'm not worthy of a calling. Doesn't matter. You're still called. And that's part of how we work this out. See, our life not only matters, but every life has a purpose. A purpose as part of the family of God. And so here's what Paul says in verse 1. He says, I urge you to live a life worthy of that special purpose and calling on your life. And we've got to shake loose from a calling meaning something that's professionally going to work for the church. In fact, the truth of the matter is, I would say often when I was at Pathfinder Church, you're going to rub shoulders with people that would not give me the time of day, especially if they found out I'm a pastor. I don't want to talk to you, but they'll talk to you. They'll share their lives with you. You are the front line of the church. You are the front line of the body of Christ with a lot of people that I'll never know. And it's, by the way, made that way by God. So you don't have to prove your value or worth as a person, but I'm going to tell you the call on your life really matters. So live a life worthy of that high calling on your life. I liked this phrase. So when you get out of bed each day, have one ear toward heaven and one ear toward earth, so you can be tuned into the voice of God calling you. You can hear the Lord in whatever relationship situation you're in. Now, notice, Paul does say, when he goes on to say, when a person embraces their call, it does have a potential to lead to an overinflated ego. Never happened with the pastor. Or comparing ourselves to others. Never going through the book in the United Methodist Church to see who's doing better, quote unquote, whatever that means. That's why he says, be humble. Well, let's let him say it. So here's the next scripture, and you're doing such a good job. I want you to read with me some more, please. Be completely humble and be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all. Wow. Well, we could spend a week or two on that verse, those verses alone. We won't, but there's that unity in that verse we just read. Our oneness, listen, our oneness is essential to make it through, I believe, this season ahead together, whatever it's bringing, this post-pandemic, and we're not really through it yet, are we? This still struggle that we're in the midst of. God's church always has an answer, but we have to do it together. Now, in light of that, Paul leads us to our big idea today of being equipped. So here it is, beginning in verse 11. One more time, all of us. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure. Wow. Yeah. So that's our goal, folks. Our goal is to grow up, to be more like Jesus. That's our goal. When we're toddlers, how many parents go, please grow up. Please. Yeah, I want you to mature. One of the things Bev did a wonderful job with our sons, being preacher's kids in particular, was we don't want power over you. Oh my, that's way too much work. We want to raise you up to make wise decisions on your own, because all too soon you're going to be doing that. And we aren't going to be around. And you're going to have to know what you believe and what your values are. And if you don't know that, you're going to be in trouble when you hit a tough decision. So we want you to mature. Any way we can help you do that, we'll do that. So you get to make choices and you get to accept the consequences, and we'll treat you with respect. You see how different that is? Then you will do what I say no matter what. Yeah. Now, you don't start that with a toddler, but you do when they start hitting those teenage years, because you figure about 12 or 13, you can't tell them anything anyway, right? They're done. We know better. We're smarter. I want to tell you, I love these verses, because I don't think there's any three verses in the scripture that summarize the purpose of my job and the focus of my life greater than these. Now, I know I have joked before that you all have a wonderful plan for our lives here at Faith. Mm-hmm. I know there are armchair quarterbacks in every church in the world that tell the pastor how to do their job. You know, Pastor Greg would just do this. He'd be a much better pastor. And stop doing that. I don't know why he keeps doing that. There are things you all wish I would do or wouldn't do, so it's impossible. Listen, this is important. It's impossible for me not to let you down at some point. But let me make myself very clear. My focus and calling is to help equip you for the work of ministry in this world, in your family, at home, in your neighborhood, at your workplace, in your circle of friends. That's my job. It's right there. You hear what I'm saying? If I don't focus on that job and I worry about doing everything else, then I will fail you and we will fail as a church family. So, I long for the day when every person in church who calls themselves a Christ follower will see their calling as important, maybe even more important than any pastor or church worker. Like I said, you will intersect with people I will never know or even see. And you are the front line for Jesus wherever you are. And that's critical. That's critical. The older I get, the more I struggle with my mortality, the more I recognize in the world there aren't a lot of really important things, but this is very important. Who are you going to spend eternity with? Who are you going to help along? Yesterday, Bev and I had the privilege of having our niece and her husband come up from, they came up from Indiana. We let them in the house. I was really surprised. But the reason it was Debbie's birthday, she's 55, and she said it's been 40 years since I accepted Christ on a backpacking trip in eastern Kentucky. I invited her to come along. Some of us seminary students at the time were signed up for a class, Discipleship Development Through Trail Camping. And it wasn't me who led her to the Lord. She was in a trail family. And the witness of the night talks about real life opened her heart to Jesus. And she and her husband Brent have been rock solid believers for 40 years. And she just wanted to thank Bev and I for our investment in her life. And I thought to myself, this is what really counts. Not about Bev and I, just this is what matters. And she's praying for her sister, who she's not sure about. No, her daughter. I get them all confused. They're cute. They're cute, and they never age. Why do they never age? Something's wrong. No, you see what I'm getting at? It just continues on. The one thing on Debbie's mind is her daughter who doesn't accept Christ. Because that's what matters. She's at peace about it, but I think it's important. If we get this stuff right, our lives will never be the same again. Our lives are not the same because of it. Here, let's read this one together too, shall we? From him, Jesus the Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each. Do you know what captured the attention of the early church people around them? It wasn't that Jesus can resurrect you to live forever. It was a weird phrase. Look how they love one another. Look how they go out of their way for each other. Look how they support each other. I want that. It's what I saw in the Miller family. I don't know what you got, but I want that. Because right now I feel alone and isolated, trying to make sense out of life, and it's not making sense. But you got something. I see the loving. I see the hospitality, the warmth. I know it sounds silly, but for a guy who's 26 and post-military and hungry, just a good meal goes a long way. See, you don't know what you're doing when you invite somebody just to sit down and have a meal with you and say, you're welcome here at this table. Come on. You see, Paul's saying, when each part does its work, the whole body grows and matures. When everyone does their part, this isn't a game of Red Rover We don't need a few superstars to win the game. Every single one of us and our calling from God matter. So let's pause for a minute, reorient ourselves. What was our big elevate the room phrase today? I am equipped because God has given me. You know what? When we came here too, that was the thing you guys did not want to lose. You love each other, and you just don't want to lose that. And I don't believe you will. I believe we have that, and we're going to keep having that. And welcoming people into a loving community is the best thing we can do for so many people who feel alone and isolated and forgotten and need a family. We get to be that family. The purpose of any church is to gather, support, pray, and equip one another for ministry, and then for each of us to be sent out. This isn't church, our job. This is our gathering to encourage each other and support one another and pray for one another. So when we go back into whatever lives we have and places we have, we feel more lifted up. When I was in the hospital, twice now, I felt the support and love of this family. I thought, I can do this. I'm not alone. This is okay, Lord. I'm here. Do with me as you will. There's opportunity right here on these frontline people who are taking good care of us. Listen, I want you to be able to walk into any room and feel equipped to be an example of Christ. Maybe you remember the summer when I shared about the concept of a holy disturbance. You know, we talked about the Emmaus Road. Remember the story? Two people are walking along after the resurrection. We've heard weird stories. People say the tomb is empty. He's alive. And Jesus joins them, and they didn't recognize him. I love that. And he walks along, and he explains everything to them. He's opening up the scripture and talking about all the prophets and that they pointed to Jesus. And remember, they sat down to break bread, and suddenly he's gone, which I love. Oh, we should have stayed. That was really rude of him. No, because what did they say? Didn't our hearts burn within us? Then it's true. Look out. Life has just changed for us and everybody else. When we walk with Jesus in this life, what's going to happen is your heart's going to start to burn for things he opens your heart and mind to. It's amazing. It starts to be all you think about, but like a campfire, it needs some fresh air. That's where the church family comes in. That's where the help comes. I love the fact that I was really disappointed because I wanted to go to Ed Bawden's visitation. I didn't know Ed, but we share a birthday. Both born on D-Day, him before, me after. I wanted to honor this man. But I have a wise wife who said, don't put yourself in a compromising position with your seriously compromised immune system because of chemo. She said, I appreciate you want to go. But because somebody had their heart burning within them some time ago, Sharon Sorensen, who became a Stephen minister and a Stephen leader, when I came here, she said, now, I'm visiting Ed. First, she said, every other week. Then he said, aren't you coming next week? And Sharon went. And at first, just talked, but more, he wanted prayer. He wanted to have the scriptures read. And he wanted communion, and we arranged that. Now, I wasn't there, but Sharon was. So Jesus was. You see what I'm saying here? It doesn't have to be me. And it doesn't have to be somebody with special training. Sharon has taken it upon herself to get the special training because it burns in her heart to help people, to be Jesus available to people who need Jesus. And it'll happen to you. Now you're saying, oh, I'm past all that. I'm too old. Really? Moses was 70 when things got started. He was 100 and something when he finally finished up. I'm not expecting that from you. Okay. I'm just saying, if you're frontline with people that need Jesus, you're have a calling. You have opportunity. You have the Lord. Never make light of that. The Holy Spirit resides in you, and the Holy Spirit is pursuing that person with love, pursuing that person to welcome them into God's forever family. That's God's longing. So, we've been having conversations at Cornerstone. I haven't talked about Cornerstone in a while, but I'm going to, because we're aiming that direction to become a satellite. And I want to keep you up on what's going on there. So you know the sense of this. And the thing I have seen in Pastor Ken and the rest of the staff is exciting to me. And I'll tell you why. It's exciting to me because I believe what Cornerstone is, this message is being delivered at all the campuses today with some personalizations, but it's being, and I think it's going to greatly affect who faith is as we go forward with Cornerstone, as part of Cornerstone. And that is that Pastor Ken said, if I have learned one thing, I was really good at getting people to do things for me. And he said, so I had quote-unquote success, but I realized the Lord has convicted me that I wasn't truly successful because what I was not doing was what my primary job was, to equip you for ministry. So he said, I have repented, humbled myself and repented, and now that's our job. So he said, I want you to see staff. There'll be staff meeting tomorrow. And he said, I want you to see yourself as equippers, not just doers. I want you to see yourself as serving every person who's part of the church family. Not just creating a ministry and, hey, come here and join us and do the... It's to serve. What is burning on your heart? So he said, I've got an acronym I want to share with you. It's called FAN, F-A-N. And he said, we want to help fan your calling, your holy disturbance into flame. So this is the acronym we're using, and it means simply this. First is, okay. So here's what Ken said I thought was fascinating. In the post-COVID, well, it isn't post-COVID, in the waning change of COVID, he said, so many people have been watching church online. That's fine. He said, a lot of great teaching. There are a lot of great teachers out there. But there's one thing that we have they don't have. I feel like the wizard in the Wizard of Oz. But there's one thing you don't have. He said, we want to know you. We want to be face to face. And you can't do that online. And you can't do that through an email. We want to know who you are, what burns in your heart, what gives you joy, what you struggle with, what you rejoice in. I mean, one of the joys of Bev and I coming here is we just want to get to know you better and better and better and better, face to face. I love this opportunity. It's only on Sundays right now, and I don't like that, but it's going to get better. And I've said, I'm going to have to be careful because then I have to live up to this. Bev and I don't really have a home campus of all the campuses at Cornerstone because I've preached at all of them. But to me, this is our home. You're our family. We want to share life with you. So regardless of when and who that campus pastor is that's chosen to lead here, Bev and I want to stay on as much as possible to just help. Just be here, be part of this family, be with you. We like you. We really do. I don't know why you like us, but we like you, and we're going to stick with it. So face-to-face, doing life together, and that's one of the things that, I mean, Ken is saying, and I'm agreeing, we're all agreeing, is the local church has to pivot. We have to change this mentality of come to our great church with all these ministries we're doing, and Cornerstone's doing a lot of ministry. Come meet our great people who are called to ministry, and we're helping them become these amazing, even more amazing people as they fulfill their calling. So that leads to the second thing, which said staff people are going to, and that includes me, we're going to ask questions. I'm going to want to know a lot more about you. You can't get away. We will hunt you down in a very nice way. And if we want to get to know you, it means you ask questions and you listen. And we do. Bev and I want to know you better and better and better and share life with you. We don't. Do we have secrets that we can't share? No, we're pretty much an open book. That's because we're so boring. But really, we don't have much in the way of secrets, but we're glad to share with you our lives, and we'd love for you to share your lives with us. What I look forward to when we come here is to see you. I do feel a calling to preach, and it's a joy for me, but a far greater joy is to see your faces, to know how you're doing. I work harder at that, the better I feel. So, now look, we're not asking you to start anything brand new, or we have to start new ministries, or we just want you to find where you're called to be fulfilled. Because that's the part I didn't understand when I first became a Christian, was I thought, this is great, I'm part of a family. Now it's, what am I supposed to do? And I didn't even know when I was called to preach that that's what it was. I had to tell the pastor, I had to tell Clyde, and I said, I had this weird experience, what do I do with this? And he said, I think you're called to preach. I said, what is that? I really didn't even know. And he said, well, it's this. So why don't you start on the path, and if the Lord keeps opening doors, that's a good sign. I said, okay. And that's what I've been doing the rest of my life from the time I came to Christ and received apparently a call. That was it. So now there's another part of that. And by the way, it isn't just for you. It's the end. Oh, I had face-to-face, and I'm not keeping up. See? Ask questions. The third part is simply network. We're not to do this alone. There may be other. One of the things we found, we watched Be Rich in Andy Stanley in Georgia, where our son, youngest son and family go to church, Brownsbridge. Huge church, 43,000 people on a Sunday, which is a lot. But they have this thing every year called Be Rich, and they just take, basically people make a pledge, make an offering, and they gave away two established ministries, not part of North Point. How much did they give away? $2.5 million. I mean, they walked into these ministries, think about how that feels, and just handed them a check and said, we love what you do, we're for you, we pray for you, but we want to do something more. And they just walk in and start handing checks out. So for, you know, substance abuse, help counseling, for just amazing ministries, for feeding people. They're just walking. I mean, how much fun is that got to be, to walk in and hand somebody a check and say, unexpectedly, you know, here's $50,000. You think that'll help your ministry? Whoa, we can get that other van that delivers food. This is fantastic. Here we go. Yeah. You see, it may be something that's already started that you need to be a part of. Network. That's what you're. What's going to happen? We are wanting to network faith because we're saying we want to join with Cornerstone. And so that means part of a big family that's doing lots of stuff that we can be part of. So let me tell you, there's going to be niches where you are needed and God's directing you, and it's going to be awesome. Okay. So I want to encourage you. If someone is seeking to fan your flame, you let them help you. Let them ask questions. Let them meet with you face to face. And if they can network, I'm trying to do that all the time here, by the way. Right? I mean, Sharon, you now know Mara, the head of Stephen Ministry at Cornerstone. I'm making connections, trying to all the time, because I feel like that network is what makes us stronger. Okay. But you say, is that biblical? Well, I think it's been God's pattern throughout history, hasn't it? We've always been invited by the Lord into a partnership for ministry. He said to Adam, the first man and woman, name the animals with me. What's it called? Help give it its character, its nature. And then he said, I know it was after the fall, but make babies. And isn't it a miracle when a new child comes into life? You just feel like, I just felt like God and mostly Bev and I, we had miracles, two of them. And God invited us into that. That's amazing. God is always inviting us to share his ministry with him. The purpose, again, all this is, read it out loud with me, close, so that the body of Christ may be until we all reach and in the of the Son of God and become attaining to the whole measure. Yeah. Yes. We're called to do that together. And that is a powerful call on our lives. So, the folks at Cornerstone want to know who you are and want to get to know you, and we want to get to know you. Don't be surprised if we ask questions, if we try to fan the flame in you. Help in any way we can for you to be the person God wants you to be until we all grow up in Jesus. If there's something the world needs right now, it's a mature church with mature believers who know how to love in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Never meant to do this alone. As you, Father, Son, and Spirit, our family, we are, you invite us into family, not just with you, but with one another. And there's great joy in that. But don't let us miss the calling you have on our lives to be part of the solution in a very troubled and problem-filled world. So let our hearts burn with the love that you have to be part of something that makes a profound difference, and we will give you praise and glory always. In Jesus' name, amen.